Sing in the choir, you lead the choir, you sing and all of that, so we appreciate that. You filling in the gap this morning for Nancy and Chris, and thank you for being here after a long night last night. We appreciate our young people who are willing to step in and do their part, and we appreciate it. When you look in the Bible, there are many people's names mentioned that made contributions in church history, in the Old Testament and New Testament, all the way from Moses and Abraham and Ruth, Esther, Phoebe, and all the way to the New Testament, to the disciples and Paul, that loved the Lord and gave of themselves. And as we bring, in tribute to Marge and Gene for their part in sharing the ministries with the church and in the communities and so forth, the scene and story that I want to share with you, it takes place in Bethany, just a few miles from Jerusalem. And the time is a night before Jesus' trial entry into Jerusalem. In just a few days, Jesus knew he would be arrested, he would be tried, he would be convicted, and he would be crucified. And Jesus knew it, and he knows exactly what is going to happen. So what does Jesus do this night? We'll read the scriptures in a few minutes. I'm just giving you sort of an introduction to this scene. So what does Jesus do? He goes to a party given in his honor by Simon the leper. He goes to enjoy good food, which we're going to be having today, right? The good old gospel bird, chicken. And he went to have enjoy a fellowship and conversation with his friends. And a last visit with his friends before he goes into Jerusalem and before he dies. So as Jesus is reclining at the table with his disciples, a woman, not mentioned or not named by Mark, she is mentioned in the Gospel of John. Matthew and Mark and Luke does not mention her name, but John mentions her name. But Mark here does not mention her name. So Jesus is reclining at the table along with his disciples and a woman, and she was a part of the crowd there, and is overwhelmed with emotion. She takes an alabaster jar containing very expensive perfume, breaks the container, and uses all the precious perfume to anoint the head and the feet of Jesus. Now, Mark says head. Other gospel says head and feet. She just poured it over Jesus. Can you imagine that? Then she took her hair and she wiped Jesus down with that. You imagine that? Can you see that scene? Can you picture what Mary is doing? But there are always going to be some that are resistant to this. So some there immediately criticize her. Follow along with me as I read, beginning with verse 3. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume. Now, when I say costly perfume, we're probably looking at 300 denarii. And that was equivalent to a year's work for those back then. A whole year's work. But you take what you're making today, whatever that would have cost for you to spend, for what was spent here, that's a whole year's work. Very costly perfume of pure nard. And she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed for me. For you always have the poor with you." And Jesus wasn't overlooking the poor at all. And there, you know, the needs, Jesus preaches all through and shared all the way through the Gospels and New Testament to take care of the needy. And whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. See, Jesus was saying, she's making preparation for my death, my crucifixion. And then in verse 9, "Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the world," the whole world, Jesus is saying, "wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." So whatever, anything is ever done in the name of the Lord will be spoken about. You know, in Revelation chapter 14, verse 3, it says that when we die, our labor ceases, right? But our works continue on. That's the blessing. That's how God continues to work. See, you and I may never see everything that we've ever done. Our witness, our testimony. We may never see the results of all of that, but those who are behind us will reap the benefits of it because we choose to be available to do things in behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what Mary was doing. That's what Marge and Jean has done. That's what many have done that's come passed through this church over the years, have done things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to further the kingdom of God. So that's why this story is so special, because this woman is overwhelmed by love and she found a way to express it. John's gospel tells us that her name is Mary. She is believed to be the Mary, to be Mary and the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Mary's act of anointing Jesus was courageous and sacrificial with the jar containing expensive fumes, as the Bible speaks. The alabaster jar, which is a beautiful jar, was broken. Poured on Jesus' feet and head, Christ welcomed her and regarded her efforts. He said, "Leave her alone. She has done a good thing." See, everybody else had overlooked the good thing that she had done. This is not the first time that Mary had sat at the feet of Jesus, is it? She had sat at the feet of Jesus before. I think she recognized what was coming forth. And Jesus was there to be with his friends and to fellowship with them and to commune with them and so forth. And she took she took advantage of this. See, Mary took the initiative. She did an act of devotion when no one else would. She gave of her resources in a way of worship to Jesus. So this story takes on even deeper meaning of an awe-inspiring love. The title of this message, An Awe-Inspiring Love. She was devoted to Jesus. And because it means that this lady, Mary, took expensive perfume and she broke it to give to Jesus. And in essence, she said, with the same enthusiasm I used for myself, I now give it to you in worship. Now think about this a moment. Have you ever stopped to think what the difference would be made in the church if Christians could become enthusiastic for Jesus as they are enthusiastic for other things? Mary was more enthusiastic of worshiping and devoting her life to Jesus, not worrying about the expensive perfume. Maybe she's never able to afford that again. And everybody else was like, oh my goodness, look what you have done. Wasted the perfume and broken the jar on top of that. They were thinking of things. And Jesus was right here in their midst. And they was missing the importance of that moment. And you've often heard me say this, and I'll keep saying it as long as I have breath to say it. Whenever you're together with your family, when you're together in a church setting like this, when we're together worshiping or having special time with each other, cherish those moments, because there'll never be another moment like it. There'll never be another moment just like this moment today, right? So cherish these moments while you have a breath to do so. Because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We're not promised tomorrow. We must have promise today because we're here, right? Touch yourself. Make sure, yeah, we're here, right? One of these days we won't be able to say that or do that. Because we won't be here, but we'll be in a place prepared for us. For the Christians who love the Lord, are devoted to the Lord, and see Him as a priority of our life. And Mary here, Jesus was a priority to her. And she took the initiative and took the time to worship Jesus. There's a second thing I want us to see. Not only did Mary find a way to express her love, but she expressed her love generously. See, it was an extraordinary and foolish act in the eyes of those who watched in verse 4. But love is often extravagant, isn't it? Right, husbands? You go out and you buy the best for the wife, whether it be jewelry or perfume or cologne or whatever that might be that you know that she needs. Not exactly what she wants, because we don't always do that, do we? It'd be nice, though, wouldn't it, ladies? So love does extravagant things. And all of us can remember buying things that we couldn't afford, right? To give to people we love. We sacrifice to purchase those treasure or those keepsakes. And by love, that's what love does. We're thinking of others. And here, Mary was thinking of Jesus. She wasn't thinking about expensive perfume. It was a moment that she initially wanted to pay tribute to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, love does things that may appear to be foolish and wasteful as it tries to say, this is how much I love you. And I know Marge loved his church. And I would see her up here about every day. Right, Sherry? When Sherry was here, she was here almost every day. And she made a point to come by and speak to me and Sherry and so forth. And then her and Geneva, they would walk the perimeter of the Family Life Center. And then she'd always say, bye, see you later. Never will forget the day that she came in after she drove through the window, drive-through window, you know. I didn't have a sermon ready for that day, but she drove through anyway. She come in and she said, I need to talk to you, Pastor Mike. I said, okay, that's good. And she said, started apologizing. I said, don't do that. She said, I'm sorry I did that. I ran through there. I don't know what I was thinking. I said, no, that's fine. And she said, I'm just thankful you weren't in there. Because, see, I was in, that was my office, but I'd just been moved about a week or so. I would have been in there. I said, Marge, you know, no more thankful than I am that I wasn't sitting in there. She said, I wouldn't want anything ever to happen to you. And I said, I appreciate that. And I said, the Lord was in control of all of this. And then she says, what can I do to repay or fix this, pay for this? And I said, it's all right. It's fine. It'll be taken care of. But see, she wanted to do her part even there because she had done something to the church that it just devastated her because she loved her church. Even this is a building. I said, this is just a building. The church are the people. And she said, yes, that's right. But I want to take care of God's building too. I said, you have and you will throughout your life of service and everything. So don't worry about it. So as we look at this, this is how love looks. Maybe another point is that the alabaster jar did not have to be broken, right? She could have just opened it up and poured a few drops of that expensive perfume on Jesus' head. Everybody would have said, my, what a wonderful act of devotion, right? If she hadn't broke the jar. Or she could have poured it all out, but saved the jar so that it could be filled again. See, when it's broken, it can't be refilled, right? But she just, you know, poured it out, sprinkled it out, not broke the jar. It could be filled again. Everybody would have said, my, how gracious, how much love she must have. But this woman broke the jar so that it would never be filled again. Everybody, you know, didn't like that. So in this fleeting moment, when the opportunity was there, she seized it. Oh, yes, she seized it. And there were those there that criticized her, but Jesus knew her heart. He knew what was going on within her heart and what she had done. No wonder Jesus said, she has done a beautiful thing to me. There are people in this life has done beautiful things on behalf of Jesus. And Marge and Gino's is one. And many of you have. When there's a need in this church, people come together. And as a congregation, as a body of Christ, we can do beautiful things in the name of the Lord. And then, in the latter verse here, Jesus said that she did what she could. And then Jesus followed up with those words. She did what she could do. When we stand before the throne of Almighty God, and when He opens the book of life and comes to our names and sees all the sins that are blotted out by His blood because He went to Calvary and paid the sin debt for us. He did that for us. More than anything else, we all long for Jesus to say. Now, I'm going to put it this way. Because the person we are giving tribute today, who also loved the Lord with all of her heart, longs to hear Jesus to say, Father, this is Marge O's. She is mine. She did what she could. Many others have given. Some did less. But she took what we give her, and in return, she has given her resources back to you for your honor and your glory. And I can think of no higher tribute than that. That this woman, Mary, in our story here, didn't have much. But what she had, she gave it to Jesus. She didn't give it to Simon the leper. She didn't give it to Peter, James, or John. She didn't do it for anybody else. What she did it just for Jesus. And that's what Marge did to honor and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She gave it to Him. Her life. Her resources. Now, ask yourself this morning. What have I ever done just for Jesus? We ask ourselves this morning, what have I ever done just for Jesus? We do a lot of things for a lot of people, don't we? But what have we ever done just for Jesus? How have I expressed my love to Him? And we might say something like this. Lord, I just want to tell you that I love you. And I don't know how else to do it except to take the most valuable thing that I have and give it to you. So I offer you my life. Lord, I offer you my life. It is yours to make into whatever you want it to be. And if we will look at the scriptures, all of those that honored the Lord with their lives, their resources, and everything they did it for Him. And see, that's what the Lord wants us to do with our lives. See, God loves you more than you can ever love Him back. How many of us would dare to go to the cross to die for the sins of the world? I don't think we would have a hand go up in here, would we? For the sins of the world? For the enemies of the world? Of all of that. But Jesus, He was willing to do it. And when we extend His invitation this morning, and it's always an invitation of love. You see, I can never pay back what He has done for me, nor can you. I can do anything and everything in this way of sacrifice, but I can never repay what Jesus has done for me. And you know, Jesus knows that we can't repay what He has done for us as a sin debt, but we can repay Him in back in service to Him and our faithfulness and so forth. We can do that. So we are offering an invitation, God's invitation to you this morning. There are many needs as we come through the door. Each week, there's multiple things that go on within our lives and the lives of others. And Jesus, you know, He said, just bring them to me. Bring them to me, and I will take that burden. My yoke is light. Our burdens become heavy to us, too hard for us to carry, and especially sin. And He's willing to take away the sins of the world if we'll only believe. And you see, that changes the whole picture and spectrum of everything. That makes a big difference in our life when we know we have Jesus Christ in our lives. And it changes us completely, just like Mary. It changed her life completely that she could not spend enough time at the feet of Jesus in worship and giving her all. And oftentimes we sing the song, "All to Jesus, I Surrender." But how often we sing that song and we don't give our all to Jesus? Sometimes it's just words, isn't it? But see, the only one that truly knows our hearts from within is Lord Jesus Christ. We can't fool Him. We can't deceive Him. So when we confess, we got to be honest, first of all with ourselves and then honest with Him. And He will take us, as the song says, "Just as I am, I come." So this morning as we sing our hymn of invitation, which is hymn number 367, "Where He Leads, I'll Go." As we sing this song, and the Lord speaks to you in a intimate way to your heart, He illuminates our heart, He softens our heart to be receptive to the Holy Spirit. You come this morning as we sing. Thank you.